Welcome once again to This Week in MCU, the after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. I'm Kurt, and yes, it's the second week in a row, and joining me once again this week is Senraven.
I'm alive! What's going on?
Hey. Just trying to get caught up on all these things. This week was obviously a big week with Echo dropping all five episodes at once, which I binged.
I did it over 2 days?
I technically did it over 2 days as well. I binged three episodes that night and then the remaining two the next morning. We'll have more of a breakdown next time, but suffice it to say, I mean, I liked it. I liked it quite a bit.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was a very different type of Marvel series, I think. Very, very character focused, very, very not superhero focused ish. But I thought it was good. And I love the backstory. So with all of that, we are here to talk about What If Season 2. And once again, we talked about this last week with Loki, but we're going to wait until things die down a little bit, and then we'll break down each episode one by one in more detail. But this is going to be kind of an overall theme of What If Season 2. Now, before we jump into that, is there any Marvel news?
There's not been a lot of stuff. There was some stuff that showed up for Wonder Man. Like logo and a superhero symbol reveal and stuff like that. So just some photos. And
they cast him.
But right? I think so. Because it's supposed to be a Disney Plus series. And I think it's Yahya Abdul-Mateen was the one that... I'm not pronouncing the first name correctly, but I believe that's who it was for the main role.
I think I've seen. I don't remember. I know I remember seeing a Wonder Man announcement, but I don't. And I thought I recognized the actor. So
yeah, it does show up on his list as for Wonder Man. He was in Watchmen. He was in. Aquaman.
Yep.
Believe, maybe both. I haven't seen the second one yet. He was in one of the Matrix movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second one either. The interesting thing about Wonder Man is one of the cast members is Ben Kingsley as Trevor Slattery.
Oh, right on.
But that makes sense, kind of, because Simon Williams in the comics started as a stuntman, movie star type person. So if they're dealing with the acting thing, the only other
actor, so he's connected that way. Okay.
Yeah, because in the MCU, the only other actor that they have really is Trevor Slattery, which I just find kind of funny.
And that's amazing. I love that role.
I do too.
I mean, how badly it was handled in the originally, and then just the spin that they put on it was a lot of fun.
And way better.
Yeah.
So, and then they have Lauren Glaser in the movie, but they don't have her, you know, what her role is. Or in the series, but they don't have her
I think role. It's too early. I don't think they've announced basically anything other than here's the guy that we have for the main role.
Right.
And a few castings, but like no character announcements.
Right. Except for Ben Kingsley, obviously.
And, right.
Because they don't have a choice, really.
Yeah. Because we know who he's going to be.
And it would be really weird if they cast him
as somebody different. Else.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work.
Especially as over the top as that character was. But so okay, fun, so though. Nothing new on top of anything there.
Nothing really. You know, there was a headline like a writer calls it quits with Disney after What If. Okay, one of their writers left. Whatever.
Okay,
it wasn't the main writer, but of course the headline is like, oh, the writer leaves. Like right. No, just somebody on the team was like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
But season three is happening, so.
Which, that was the weird thing. That was the thing that came out.
Yeah.
It was like, we got a teaser trailer, which was bizarre. But my guess is that they did all the episodes and maybe didn't make it through the last episode that they were going to do in the season and just said, we're just going to keep this for season three and we'll tease it. Cause
I think they just like, we're just going to keep working. Let's make another season right after.
You know, you might be right. You might be right, especially given the writer's strike and everything that was happening. So get caught up. So, all right. So cool. This is going to have spoilers in it. So if you've not watched the episode, please, or if you have not watched the series, please go back and watch and then come back and listen. If you want to follow us, you can follow us by going to twitch.tv/VOByKurt. You can subscribe to the podcast by looking for This Week in MCU wherever you get your podcasts. All right. So, episode one. What if Nebula joined the Nova Corps? This was interesting. It was an interesting twist where... One of the things that I thought was really, really interesting is they started with the premise of Ronan having a successful coup against Thanos.
Yeah. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I know. but what if? And then 5 years later, we find Xandar because they're really afraid of Ronan. They literally seal off their planet.
Right, because he was already invading, so they put up the shield to keep him from invading.
Because he was...
But he didn't leave. No. He just sits there waiting for the doors to open back up.
Yeah.
It's like a bed club.
Yep. So, and then all of a sudden, Nebula, who is now in the Nova Corps, finds Yondu... See, that's the other part that was weird, was right on Xandar, right? We see, like, all these characters
working. Right, everybody just happens to be there, and they got locked in together.
And look, I could buy, perhaps, I could buy Howard and Groot being there. Maybe.
Maybe.
But then they put Meek and Korg in there, too. It's like, well, wait, how did that happen? I mean, it was so weird, but okay. Well,
obviously, there was a party, and even Meek got invited.
Right. So, but we find that Yondu gets killed. And Yondu was trying to find the codes to open up the shield, because the problem with the shield is that, yeah, it keeps Ronan out, but it keeps everybody in, too.
Yeah, and it was... It changed. Did it change the atmosphere? I mean, it made everything dark.
Yeah, it did. It did. So, and we find out that Nova Prime, who is the Glenn Close character, but is not voiced by Glenn Close. It's voiced by Julianne Grossman, who I don't know who that is, but and we find that she pretty much is into protecting the planet so much that
she went a whole 180.
Yeah. So,
but overall, like it was an interesting episode. Very. Very noir, very like old school detective type of thing, and you know the only thing that was lacking was the rainy scene and the dame walked into my office,
right? But like
as a, but it's like a, exactly what you want to see from a What If, right? It's a one standalone location, and this is What If this went differently, and the entire thing. Because, like, season one, we got a couple of those.
Right.
And then they built everything into one big, you know, arc, full season story, yeah. arc.
Yep.
Which was cool. But this is what If is, right? Like,
right.
here's this one thing, and let's do the story on this. Which was really neat. And I love that they got Gillian to do the voice.
Yep.
Because just... Because I, you know, it's her. So right. Love it.
Well, so the they also brought back Jude Law as Yon Rogg, who was working
right.
with Nova Prime. Because the whole thing with Nova Prime was she, instead of protecting the planet, she was going to open the shield and let Ronan in.
Right, she sold it out.
Yep. And so Yon Rogg...
For the greater good.
Yeah. And so Yon Rogg was going to work with her to do that. So ultimately, we find that Nebula fights back, wants to protect the planet, and they had opened the shield. Ronan, because he's been waiting there for however long it's been, which has been a long time.
It's been 5 years. He's got nothing else to do, apparently.
Yeah. So he waited there, and he was on his way in, and then they closed the shield on his ship. And killed him. So,
I mean, that's, I guess that's one way to take out a spaceship.
Yeah. And so Nebula prepares to continue defending Xandar as the shield remains open. So the interesting thing about this, from a little Easter eggy thing, is Groot was in the episode, but was not voiced by Vin Diesel.
Right, I heard that this is like the first time on that.
Yep, yep. And it was Fred Tatasciore who is in a lot of stuff. Fred Tatasciore has voiced a lot of characters, mostly the Hulk from an MCU standpoint. But he's really versatile and he can do a lot. So, and look, it's I Am Groot. Come on.
Yeah.
So.
But I wonder what happened. Was Diesel too busy to like call in and go, I am Groot,
maybe.
For like the one line so they can dupe it?
Maybe he got sick of it just after the
maybe.
I am Groot shorts.
Maybe.
But in any case, so we move on to episode 2, which was What If Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes? So this, the premise is the Ravagers take Peter Quill to Ego like they were supposed to. And Ego, because Peter's a kid at that point, encourages him and teaches him to help his expansion.
Yeah, that's it was a good episode. I got an idea for another one. What if the Ravagers were competent?
Yeah.
How many episodes of stuff can you do where they don't screw stuff up right at the beginning and they actually get their job done correctly?
Right, right. Yeah. So what's interesting thing to this is after they get and this only happens the episode takes place 6 months after Peter goes to Ego.
It's really quick when you're a kid, right?
Right. So we find that. They, you know, they've taken out a whole bunch of worlds, and they finally return to Earth. And we see Peggy Carter and Howard Stark recruiting Bill Foster, King T'Chaka of Wakanda,
right.
Bucky Barnes, and Dr. Wendy Lawson. And a reluctant Hank Pym, who brings Hope along. So that's kind of and Thor also makes an appearance because Thor is right.
So. Well, for that time period, he's basically working his way up as the protector of the Nine Realms.
Right. So, we find Bucky, though, is still under the influence of others, and he's basically just gonna kill Peter.
Right. Thor shows up because Peter's gonna run over a bunch of worlds, including Asgard.
Right. Right. So, basically, so Pym and it's not Captain Marvel. It's Wendy Lawson. But she's doing the Captain Marvel role.
She has some of the power. It doesn't look like she's got all the power. She's got some.
Right. And she is she and Hope. Yeah, she and Hope find Peter and they free him from the team who had captured him, but they basically free him and Quill takes off to Missouri.
Well, Hope finds him locked up and chats with him as, you know, kid to kid.
Right.
And then lets him out. Right. He's like, well, you know, you guys got it wrong, and lets him out, and goes, Dad, trust me. And, he trusts her. And the kid goes home.
Yeah,
he just wants to go see his mom.
Right, right. And that's when they convince him that Dad's Ego is a bad guy. He's wrong.
Yeah.
And so, and that's when Barnes, wants to kill him. And Stark says, hey, look, you know, he's just like your buddy, Steve. And, you know, you gotta play the sympathy card when you can. But Ego looks like he's gonna win. And then I don't really understand how this works, but Ego has to get his seed that he had planted on the planet in order for things to work. And so,
right,
Pym and Quill find the seed and destroy Ego.
Well, so they, yeah, it was kind of weird. It was a little convoluted, but
yeah.
They basically, his essence is in the seed, so they destroy that. They destroy him.
Well, yeah.
Something like that.
Well, sort of. But then they basically, you know, at the end, the team without Bucky, sets out to confront Ego. So it's almost like it was an open ended thing,
right?
Because they got to go find the actual Ego, I guess. It was weird. Not my favorite episode of the whole series.
It was alright. It was entertaining for, you know, watching other characters do stuff and getting Hope as a kid to, like, kind of flex a little, you know, show that she's always been the smart one in that family.
Right.
Because it's still with, like, it's her and Dad. They didn't bring in Mom.
Right. Right.
But I don't know why. Although at that point she might be gone already.
Right.
Yeah. At that point she might already be gone.
Right. So, and one of the things that, so they brought most of the actors back to do this. Michael Douglas, Haley Atwell, John Slattery as Howard Stark, Kurt Russell as Ego was there, Chris Hemsworth, Lawrence Fishburne, Sebastian Stan, Atandwa Akani as King T'Chaka, Madeline McGraw as Hope Van Dyne. I can't remember if that was actually her name or if that was the actual actress. Let's see. Yeah. Yep. She was the young Hope. She was the
right.
Young. Yeah. So they didn't bring her back, which is interesting because they didn't need to do that since we've seen Hope as an adult. What a lot of shows do is forget about who the young person was,
right?
So
or completely recast them.
Yeah. So there's that. And then we get to episode 3, which was one of my, I'm not going to say it's my one of my favorite episodes, but it was a fun episode. And that was, what if Happy Hogan saved Christmas?
See, that was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Because it's basically Die Hard. And yes. Specifically, it's Die Hard.
Specifically, yeah.
But it's Die Hard with, why am I blanking on her name? Oh my God.
Pepper Potts?
No.
Maria Hill? Kat Dennings?
Kat Dennings, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Completely spaced on the name. With wow.
Darcy, yeah.
With Darcy, yes. Yeah. and that was probably the best line of the movie, where she, of the episode, where she's going through and like, it's this movie. No, that's not it. It's this. And then she's trying to say Die Hard, but she, you know, naming all the other stuff.
Yep. Well, and look, Darcy. I'm not even gonna say Kat Dennings. Darcy makes everything better.
I would say Kat Dennings makes everything better.
I would too. But you know what I mean. The Darcy character. Whenever Darcy shows up, you know it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So, so much to this episode. I will say that it is more of a Christmas episode than Die Hard is. So,
Don't start that argument with people.
I'm already there. I'm already there. So.
We even get him crawling through the vents, which is awesome.
And we get Justin Hammer falling out the window.
Yeah, yep. At the end, that's perfect. And him jumping out the window to go to the floor below.
Yep.
She actually does do the call out, right? When she was trying to figure out what the name of the movie was. She's like, oh, I'm the guy in the car.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so it's basically Christmas Eve. Happy Hogan is assigned to oversee security at Avengers Tower for the annual party, and Justin Hammer shows up. And basically, he's going to the tower because he knows that Tony's got a sample of Bruce Banner's blood.
Which is a terrible idea to keep on hand.
Terrible idea.
Like, why would you keep that lying around?
And so, while Happy's trying to save the sample, whoops, he injects himself with it.
Shocking, I know.
Yeah. And it causes him to gradually transform one part at a time, which I thought was also funny. But he also retains his intelligence. Now, look.
It's only a small sample.
Yeah. And it's Happy, you know, he has to retain what he can.
It's not a lot to start with.
Well, they don't exactly make him the smartest.
Really don't. Yeah, so. not the sharpest crayon in the box.
Right. You know, in the comics, I think if I remember correctly, Happy Hogan was like a Golden Gloves boxer, just kind of a meathead guy. The way they portrayed him in the comics initially, not now, but and so I think they've tried to keep some of that without making it too insulting. But the Avengers are off doing stuff. They shut down Jarvis because they need to do a backup. Or something. I don't even remember
at this point. He's down for maintenance for some reason.
Right. And so Hogan understands that there's a problem because Hammer is invading. So he talks to Darcy, who happens to be, I guess, interning there. Because they make the joke of her. She doesn't ever get paid, right? she's always an intern.
I'm actually like, curious where this falls on it's a what if, but where would this fall on the timeline?
Right.
Because if you pay attention to her character through how she shows up in shows, because she's an intern first on Thor, and then she gets her degree, and then by the time we see her on Wanda, She's got like a master's.
Right.
So she might still not be getting paid, but they definitely progressed her story arc over the years.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I'm pretty sure she still doesn't get paid.
Right. Exactly. Even though in one of the shows she had an assistant.
Yes.
So, basically he contacts Darcy and say, hey, you need to find the AI to reboot the tower systems. And she goes through all these different AI names. And I can't remember all of them, but I think a couple of them, they name, names
I think they did name the comics. Yeah, and I think My Girl Friday was one of them.
I think Friday was one of them as well.
Yeah, there was a couple others, but I'm pretty sure I remember hearing Friday.
Right.
Which was, that was great, because, I mean, that's the Spider-Man one.
Yep, yep. So, however, she gets caught by Hammer, and this has got to be around Iron Man 3, right? Because he hijacked the Iron Legion and the Hulkbuster.
Yeah. Well, he didn't so much hijack the Iron Legion. He just took control of the bots that were the security of the tower.
Yeah, but I think that I will tell you that with the references that I looked up, they mention it as being the Iron Legion.
Oh, okay.
So it might have been at the beginning of that.
So yeah, so it would have to be right before Iron Man 3 then.
Right. So, and basically, all along, Happy continues to transform until he finally hulks out. And Hogan ends up, you know, basically defeating the Legion, defeating Hammer. And this whole time, Die Hard references everywhere. Like, yeah. just like blatant Die Hard references everywhere.
That was definitely the most fun part really of the episode.
Fun. Yeah, it definitely was fun. When Hammer finally gets taken into custody, the Avengers return and praise Hogan for his efforts and resume the Christmas party. What I don't remember though is like he is now still a Hulk, right?
Yeah, because they actually have a scene. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly. I thought there was a scene of him like jumping out of a helicopter with them all and then transforming into the Purple Hulk.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because they made him purple.
Yep. And they, in the credits, they list him as the Freak.
The Freak.
Yep. So, I would love to see them do that in the mainstream MCU just to do something weird. I don't think they will, but
I don't think so either. He's been like the voice of reason guy, I guess.
Yep.
At least for Spidey.
Yep.
So we'll see if they do anything with him for the next Spider-Man movie. Because I mean, he was right at the end there, the last scene of the last Spider-Man movie.
Right. So they. For the cast here, they brought back Jon Favreau, Kat Dennings, Kobe Smulders as Maria, Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer, Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Jeremy Renner. They've been using Mick Wingert as Iron Man, and he did Tony Stark Iron Man voice in a bunch of the animated stuff already.
Right.
So the fact that they're using him still is good. Lake Bell as Natasha Romanoff, and Lake Bell has done a bunch of like live action TV series, but they've been using her as Black Widow as well.
They used her for the first season.
I think so too.
For Black Widow. Yep. Yeah.
And then Josh Keaton is the guy that they've been using for Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Right.
So, oh, that's right. And the name of the AI that they used was Werner.
Right, because it went German.
Yeah, it went German. Right. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. So yeah, that was it was just a fun episode.
It would have been cool if she actually popped in Friday, because then we would have gotten the voice. Who did the voice for her in the second Spider-Man movie?
I can't remember.
Oh God. The girl from Labyrinth.
Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly was the voice.
Okay. Okay, cool. Episode 4, what if the Iron Man crashed into the Grandmaster? Now, the whole premise of this is the first battle of New York with the Chitauri. And remember when Tony Stark went up into the wormhole, destroyed everything, and then fell back to Earth? Well, he fell a little bit too late and got sucked in. And through that portal ended up being spit out into the dump pile that is Sakaar. The trash planet. Interestingly, the Grandmaster is there, and the Grandmaster obviously done by Jeff Goldblum. And I had a love-hate relationship with this episode.
Really?
Well, because it was MCU Mario Kart.
It really was.
Instead of having a battle arena, everybody had to play NASCAR with super or souped-up vehicles. And it was fine. It was fine.
It was an entertaining episode. It wasn't the best episode, but it was definitely entertaining.
Right.
We get Valkyrie, which was really cool. We got Korg.
We got Topaz.
Yeah.
We got Taika Waititi as Korg in both episodes. You know, and Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. You know, so, I mean, they brought her back. And Josh Brolin as Thanos.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. But we also get Gamora in this episode. It was actually played by Cynthia McWilliams. Has done some live action stuff, but
I was gonna say it's not Saldana.
No, not Zoe Saldana. All right. So basically, what happens is Stark interferes with one of the death races, because that's the other thing. It's Mario Kart / Death Race 2000, and so Stark interferes to save Korg. Gamora shows up because she was sent by Thanos to kill Stark for defeating the Chitauri. And then Topaz goes, and imprisons them. So, there were a couple of things that I did like about this. But Stark escapes, talks with Korg and Valkyrie, builds an Iron Man suit, and then challenges the Grandmaster. Now, the interesting and makes the Grandmaster race. But the cool thing about this is they didn't do what they could have done, and that is just have Tony build and be clever about it. That's great. And they did do that. But yeah. But also, he was able to defeat the inhibitor.
Right.
And which makes perfect sense, being the guy that he is.
Yeah, he's smart enough to figure that thing out.
But they could have not done that. They could have easily let that pass. But they didn't. So he basically was like, all right, yeah, I'm done. And so time to get rid of this thing. And gets rid of the inhibitor. And basically, there's the final race. This is the part that I hate. To see who wins everything, we get the Grandmaster and Stark racing. And Stark ends up ultimately winning.
By inches.
By inches, Yep.
And you get the best part of, well, okay, that was a tie. You know, Grandmaster's like, it was a wonderful tie. Everything was great.
Yeah. And that doesn't fly. And so they announce Tony as winning. They crown Valkyrie as the king of Sakaar rather than the king of Asgard, which I thought was interesting. And then Stark, over time, has befriended Gamora, and they leave the planet to find and kill Thanos, which I thought that was the one crowning achievement of this episode where I went, I want to see that story.
That would be pretty cool.
And with any,
I did like what he did for the suit, though.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It was fine. It was good. I mean, there were some fun things in this. It was the racing thing that just got me.
Yeah. It was definitely cheesy, but it was a fun race to watch.
Like, I don't like shoehorned car races, and it just like there's no reason. There's no reason for it to be that on this planet. The gladiator thing made way more sense. And
well, why?
Because that's like it ends up being more individual versus individual. And look,
sure, but you I'm guessing they had grand battles for the gladiator stuff as well. We only got to see the individual stuff being shown.
Maybe so.
This is basically the way we saw it originally was gladiator with, but one on one without the grandiose battles. And this is Ben-Hur.
Yeah,
because he even gives him a chariot.
I guess. It felt weird to me. And honestly, it's not the only when Star Wars did it.
Oh yeah, pod racing.
The pod racing. Oh my god, that was terrible. And look, the Tusken Raiders were redeemed with the Boba Fett series, in my mind.
Yeah,
in terms they actually gave them a backstory. They gave them interesting things, but in episode one, they reduced them to redneck Tusken Raiders taking pot shots at the NASCAR drivers driving by. It's like,
You know, that would make NASCAR more entertaining.
If the audience members could shoot at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. So, so honestly, even with Iron Man 2, at least the F1 race actually existed.
Okay.
And Tony, being a bazillionaire, wanting to race. Yeah,
that's not uncommon.
Yeah, I could see that happening, right? And we have some examples with guys like Paul Newman taking up racing and
right. You
know, things like that. So I get that. But it was borderline for me. And the only thing that made it worthwhile is that they didn't have Whiplash jump in a car to race Tony Stark, which would have been
yeah.
The worst.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Episode 5, what if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? Ooh.
See, this was really cool because I liked how they did that season 1.
Yep.
And so them coming back to this story was just really cool to see.
I agree. And they came to current day, right? It was
yeah.
Current day. And look, it was, we can just jump into it. Basically,
the Hydra Stomper takes on Bucky's role.
Right. Right. And Steve is the one that was captured and brainwashed by the Red Room.
Yeah.
Ironically, Brock Rumlow ends up being a good guy. But I think it's because the whole Hydra thing, right? Didn't really, it took a different direction. So, And basically, they find out that they found the Hydra Stomper, and Rogers is in there, and the suit is basically keeping him alive. So they kind of Tony Starked him a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, and Bucky's like the chairman or something. I forgot what his role was, but he's basically the man in charge.
Yes. Yeah. So they basically say, well, we're gonna go and we're gonna dismantle the Red Room and we're gonna find a cure and blah 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 blah. So we get Captain Carter and Black Widow escorting Rogers, I guess, back to the Red Room. And we have the Red Room's leader is Rachel Wise as Melina Vostokoff.
Right.
It was cool because they end up fighting, obviously, and Rogers ends up sacrificing himself to destroy the Red Room. And Nat basically uses her grappling hook to tie Vostokoff to the Hydra Stomper, and when the Hydra Stomper explodes, she's dead too. This is where it gets a little weird, because we're at the end of the episode, the good guys win, and a portal shows up. And because Peggy wants to go find Rogers, a portal shows up and takes her to what is called a Renaissance-themed universe.
Which, right. she falls, gets sucked into it.
Right. And she encounters Fury and Wanda. And what's interesting here is from a cast standpoint, they show Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury and Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda-Merlin.
Yeah.
So, again, it looks like it's one of those things where it looks like, we're going to see that sometime. They did bring back Sebastian Stan as Bucky. I think, with all these people, the repeated characters, they probably had him in for a couple of days and did all the recording.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
With Sebastian Stan, we're probably getting a little more than a couple of days, because since we got that little preview for season 3.
Yeah, oh, probably true.
Looks like he's going to have a bunch of stuff in there.
But we're talking about like one chunk of time rather than back a bunch of times. So Frank Grillo did come back as Brock Rumlow. And then Haley Atwell. Just the normals were all there. I thought this was a fun episode. It was a true what if. It was definitely one of those things with the parallels. Because that is what makes a lot of the what ifs work. And even in the comics, where it's what if this thing happened instead of this thing, but there's a lot of parallels that are really neat to see how they compare.
Right, because you get that one choice that gets flipped and there's your what if.
Right. So, all right.
But it sucks because it's yet another timeline where she doesn't wind up with Steve.
Right. And here's the weird part for me. When the portal takes her to that Renaissance-themed universe, I'm going, oh, cool, next week's going to be awesome. Or the next episode's going to be great. Which was the next day, actually, because they did these 9 days in a row. And it completely wasn't, because this might be my favorite episode coming up. And it is, what if Kahori reshaped the world? Now, when I saw the title, I went, who the hell is Kahori? Well, brand new character for What If, for Marvel, just a brand new character.
Yeah.
And the premise is Surtur is attacking Asgard during Ragnarok, destroys Asgard, and the Tesseract falls in a lake.
And it's cracked.
Yeah, it's cracked.
Because it gets damaged, it falls to Earth.
Yeah, in pre-colonial America.
Yeah.
And giving this lake magical properties and blah, blah, blah. And we see the bunch of people interact with it, but we see them disappear. And so the lake becomes known as the Forbidden Lake. And we see, and they literally labeled it as late 15th century. So it's very much pre. But we see some Mohawk kids who are being hunted by Spanish conquistadors, and because they're searching for the Fountain of Youth.
Right.
Like you do. And they were nowhere near St. Augustine, Florida.
Well, you can't look in just one place.
That's true. That's true.
It's always in the last place you look, because then you stop looking.
Right. So Kahori and Wata, the kids, they're siblings. They're hiding in a cave, and Wata is captured because boy, and Kahori is shot because girl, and Kahori.
I mean, that's as good of a reason as anything.
At least back then, right? Certainly back then, but
yeah,
yeah. And Kahori is shot, but she falls into the Forbidden Lake, which it says teleports her to another dimension, which is when we find out why the others disappeared. And she gets nursed back to health by other Mohawk people. But they look weird. And they basically explain that, and a lot of this, that was the other thing, is like a lot of this was all in Mohawk.
Yeah, and they did a great job on it, because it's actually properly done.
Yeah, and they used the Mohawk Nation as consultants.
Yeah.
In fact, at the end of the episode, it says it was done in collaboration with the Mohawk Nation and the Smithsonian.
Which is just cool.
Which is
very, this is what happens when you have the money to do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, yeah.
And do it correctly.
So, basically, they're told that they were teleported, or they explain that they were teleported, the world that they were teleported to, they call Skyworld, and they gained powers and immortality, but can't go home. And so Kahori starts figuring out her powers and figures it out better than most everybody else on the planet at this point.
Yeah, she's pretty quick about it.
But then they find that the conquistadors find that Forbidden Lake and enter it, believing it to be the Fountain of Youth, and end up invading the Sky World, like you do. Well, Kahori and company stops them and basically forces that portal from the sky to the ground, and they find a way to return home.
Yeah, well, she returns. They don't want to, but they do follow her later. They do
follow her later, right. Because she basically says, I have to go back and save our people. Like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you want to stay here?
Like, we're staying here because we're safe here. This is where we are now. But, you know, your people are being killed. So they all do follow her by the end of it.
And because they all have powers imbued by the Tesseract, they all have superpowers, and they are easily able to defeat the conquistadors, and then they force Queen Isabella to make peace.
This was an interesting scene.
It was really
They just show up in her courtroom,
and Queen Isabella is a jerk. Like,
yes,
they make her out to be just terrible. Now, I have no idea the history of Queen Isabella, but I thought it was really interesting. Like, not only a jerk, but kind of a spoiled brat temper tantrum person.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's probably true.
Yeah, Kahori says, yeah, that's not how it's gonna go. Cause now Kahori's got all her confidence, right?
Right. Can you imagine being in, you know, 1500s and having superpowers?
Oh my god. Yeah. And not
like, just you basically rule the world.
Right.
But not a, she's not a jerk, so
right.
She's not trying to conquer the world, she's just trying to make it fine.
Right. So so we get basically a new superhero out of Kahori. And they're making it sound like she's immortal. What I don't know is, are they going to fold her into the MCU?
I don't know. Like,
and I know
I don't see her popping from the animated to movie.
I don't know, because this episode was pretty cool, and I think it was well received. I don't know.
I mean, they could, if they want. Well, if we get a season two for Echo, they could bring her in that one there as well.
Well, and so that's the other thing I was going to bring up. Like, so we've got Kahori from the Mohawk Nation. We've got Echo from the Choctaw Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And done in collaboration with the Choctaw Nation. And I don't know if you noticed, this is a spoiler for the Echo series. You can actually watch Echo dubbed in Choctaw.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? It's really cool. And so I wonder if they're going to do something like, because Echo has powers.
Yeah.
Right? Wonder if they're going to do something like, yes, they're from different lineage, but it all stems from.
All right, they could. It would be pretty cool to see.
But it all stems from the same source, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. I just found that interesting. And they could also multiverse her in.
Sure.
Pretty easily. Right, it would be like a woman out of time, but she'll adapt.
Yeah,
because that's what you do in movies.
Well, so she basically slaps Queen Isabella around a little bit and says, you know, we're gonna make peace. We're not here to conquer you because we believe that we are better when everybody else is. We're well when everybody is well.
Right. Right.
And then a portal opens up and Strange shows up.
Yep. Doctor Strange Supreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World peace in record time.
Yep. And approaches Kahori. And so, okay. All right. Cool. But we don't get a payoff in the next episode directly, because the next episode is What If Hela Found the Ten Rings?
This was really cool. This was a lot of fun to watch.
It was. It was. What was weird was seeing Hela kind of as a good guy.
Well, by the end of it, certainly.
By the end, certainly.
She's definitely not a good guy, but she does try to, you know, even when she this. So this is basically her instead of Thor. Getting her powers stripped away by Odin and sent to Earth, but you know, not when Thor is in whatever 1999 or whatever year the movie was, but like ancient China when the Mandarin finds the Ten Rings,
right? Right,
and she got her powers stripped away, so we see her still like, I am this powerful being. Oh, wait. No, I'm not. But I'm a woman. Let's play on that angle as well. Oh, don't hurt me.
Right. Well, the cool
thing. So she's very good at, I'm super powerful and I'm super manipulative as well.
Right. But the cool thing about the banishment is they basically gave Hela the Thor treatment. You know,
yeah.
Odin basically destroyed Mjolnir, but also placed an enchantment on her crown and threw her crown to Earth. And basically said, was it once you learn or whosoever it was
the, I forgot how to how it went.
Yeah, but it was all surrounding humility, I think.
Yeah.
But shall retain the powers of Hela. So she drops to Earth and tries to do her powers, and they're just not there because she's been stripped of her powers.
Yeah, kind of like when, and we do get a scene of she gets beat down by the Mandarin's army.
Yep.
And then gets brought over to the helmet, and she can't lift the helmet, just right. Like Thor couldn't lift the hammer.
Right. Right. And so basically, she gets brought to Talo, and Jai Yi, who is their leader, teaches Hela martial arts. And only because Hela finally realizes that she doesn't want to be controlled. Which I found, I really liked the story arc. I thought it was really cool the way they made that work. Basically, so we go back to Asgard, and Heimdall has been asked to find Hela, been unable to, and Odin basically just says, okay, I'm going. And Odin goes to Earth to battle Wenwu. And Hela joins Wenwu in fighting against Odin and ultimately winning her ability to wield the crown.
Yeah, because she showed that she grown and she outgrew.
Right.
Odin says, you even outgrew me, you learned your lesson, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But she gets a really cool outfit.
Yeah, yeah. And she basically... Odin says, okay, so you're good enough for the throne. It's yours now. And Hela basically, it's the note that I'm reading says, unites the armies of Asgard and the Ten Rings organization.
Yeah.
But embarks on a journey to ensure freedom across the Nine Realms. And coming to the rescue of Gamora's people as Thanos attacks them.
Right, because that's where, that's the last shot of that episode is we get a Bifrost bridge, and everybody's coming across it with her and the army. And her outfit looks awesome. She gets this pure white silver look to her, which was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably my most disappointing thing of the entire season.
Yep. So, it was really, really well done. Gotta go back to my page here. All right. So, we have Cate Blanchett resuming her role as Hela, which is awesome. Jeff Bergman is the guy that they've been having do Odin, which is no surprise. I mean,
yeah,
you're not gonna get him to do Odin. Idris Elba as Heimdall, Fyodor Chin as Zhu Wenwu, and Lauren Tom as Jai Yi. And then others with characters that I don't think we've seen before. So, and then we get to our final, no, not final. I always think this is the last one. We get to episode number 8, which I loved because it follows, sort of, not really follows. It sets it in a universe that has been portrayed in the comics. And that is, what if the Avengers assembled in 1602? We get an Elizabethan era themed universe, and we find that this is where Captain Carter got sent to. And where Wanda, Merlin, and Sir Nicholas Fury were there.
So, I like Sir Nicholas Fury for him. That's a cool title for him.
I found it interesting that they waited a couple episodes to pay this off. And I'm not sure what the deal was with that. But I think, you know, they wanted to get the Kahori episode in, and then maybe they just felt they just need to put another episode in the middle of it, because they wanted the 1602 one to be the penultimate episode. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but they could have just done the Hela one before that.
Right. Right. That's true. So she gets there. They are basically, Wanda and Nick Fury are trying to stop an incursion. And we've seen the incursion things before, but they're trying to stop that. Captain Carter saves Prince Loki from being pulled into a terror, but fails to save Queen Hela, who is queen in this world. And right. Because of that, and this is going to be hard to keep track of, I think, Sir Harold the Happy Hogan is reports to King Thor, because now Thor is king because Queen Hela got sucked in. Captain Carter is being hunted by Happy
as a traitor, because Thor thinks that it was her fault that the queen got sucked in,
right,
because she failed to stop the thing that which is why they brought her there. So she runs off into the Sherwood Forest.
Yep. we also hear about this person called the Forerunner, another time displaced individual, but. She works with Tony Stark, or that world's Tony Stark, to build a device that can identify the Forerunner using the Time Stone, which happens to be in Thor's scepter.
Right.
Okay.
Well, but like,
it's all fine.
We do get a whole thing of her whining.
Well, Tony suggests that she goes and works with the outlaws in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we see Steve Rogers, Bucky Barnes.
Is the leader of the outlaws with Bucky.
And Scott Lang.
Yeah.
Which is good. I'm so happy they made him part of that band. Like, you kind of had to, right?
Yeah.
But the group gets ambushed by Hogan. Because basically, Tony says, go find these guys and they can steal the Time Stone for you. Cool. All right. So, they're ambushed by Hogan. Carter is about to give herself up, but ends up freeing herself, and a masked Bruce Banner, who is actually Bruce Banner in this to begin with, and they escape and they meet with Stark and join the group in infiltrating Thor's court. And with Wanda's help, they retrieve the Time Stone, which identifies Steve Rogers as the Forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
Who had inadvertently created the temporal anomaly while battling Thanos.
Yeah, because he got sucked in and wound up on this world.
Right. And Carter basically once again gets separated from Rogers.
Yet another timeline where they can't be together.
Right. And returns him to his universe, preventing the incursion, because that was the reason for the incursion. And then she's met by Strange Supreme. Okay, so we see Strange Supreme is setting something up, right? And we see this. So I thought this was just a fun.
I think episode. This was probably my favorite of the season.
That might have been
just because it was so much fun. Well, that and the Christmas one.
Christmas one.
Because I really like the Christmas one.
Yeah, me too. But the 1602 one I thought was just
as yeah.
Because look, they did the whole Robin Hood thing.
Yeah.
And like they named him Rogers Hood.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. So yeah. Really fun episode. All the usual players were there. Tom Hiddleston did act as Loki, so that was pretty cool.
Very flamboyant Loki.
Yeah. And then the last episode of the season, which I would love to say is my favorite episode, but it's really not.
I can't. I enjoyed it.
It was fun. It was fine.
It was really good. It was better than half of the season, I guess. But I wouldn't say it was the best of the season. Well,
so here's... Okay, so let's just get into it. So
yeah.
It's What If Strange Supreme Intervened. Now, one, that's a terrible title. It tells you nothing. But basically, the premise is Strange takes Captain Carter to his Sanctum Infinitum, where he reveals that he's been capturing universe killers to atone for his sins.
Yeah.
Cool. That makes perfect sense. That's great.
You get a pan shot as they're walking.
Yep.
And there's like the little not cubes, but the little shapes that he made that basically has a bunch of like the main villains trapped in it. You see a Thanos. You see Ultron with the gems, and you see Peter Quill, the kid.
Right. Right.
There was a shot of that. There was a bunch of others that I couldn't tell who the hell they were. Right, but.
And that's why we're going to do a breakdown of this at some point. But the thing that bugged me a little bit. So the other thing is I'm taking some notes from Wikipedia. I just want to be completely clear about that and transparent about that because they trigger reminders more easily. So. But basically Strange says, hey, we gotta get your help to capture a variant, where Hydra used the Tesseract to destroy the world. And Carter says, cool. And we have her meet Kahori.
Mm-hmm.
Who basically says, yeah, so that's not what's going on here. Strange has been capturing these people and feeding them to the Forge, this thing that he built in an effort to restore his lost universe again and get Christine. Like, he has not given that up since season one.
Has not learned his lesson.
Right. So, Strange... finds out about all this, tries to kill Kahori. Carter starts freeing all of his captives, allowing her and Kahori to take off. And amid everything, they find Black Panther Killmonger,
who has gems?
Yeah, he's got infinity armor, I guess.
Yeah, he had all the stones, and so they beat him up because Kahori has more power than him.
And separates him from his armor, but then sets up Carter with the infinity armor?
So the stones wind up on the Union Jack armor.
So here's one of the
and it looks really cool. The design of the suit looks awesome.
It looks great.
So now she's got her shield and she's got all the stones.
But here's one of the problems I have. One of the problems I have is that the TVA has shown us that Infinity Gems don't work outside of their own universe.
Yeah, well, this is a pocket dimension of. Strange's making. Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm okay. I mean, it worked in the story. It worked in the story.
Yeah.
It's a little nitpicky thing. The other thing that bugs me about this episode is, and maybe it's because, maybe this is why we should have seen it coming. They, at the beginning of the series, the season, they set things up so that Captain Carter was kind of a member of the Avengers of the Multiverse.
Yeah.
I think they may even have called them that.
They did. They had it pop up.
Yeah, so Avengers with people from different multiverses all coming together as a team. Cool. And they do nothing with it.
Yeah. They never come back to it.
And you want to include Kahori as part of that? Cool. I got no problem with that. But
That could be the season 3 stuff.
Maybe. I hope so. And that's what I'm hoping.
That could be like, that's what we were saying earlier. They could have been just like, we didn't get to finish everything we wanted to. Let's just turn it into season 3 and keep going.
Right. So basically, we find that in this fight, in this final fight, Strange gets taken over by his demon self. And Carter's able to separate them. But the forge gets destroyed. Strange sacrifices himself and the demon to it. The Watcher shows up, who Carter can see and communicate with. But the Watcher shows up and basically brings Captain Carter. Well, he returns Kahori home. Cool. Yeah. Great. Brings Carter to Strange's restored universe.
Without him there.
Without Strange there, revealing that he succeeded in resurrecting Christine. Which is just
he can't be there for it.
Just a kick in the throat.
Right?
And then says, Christine can exist, but Strange can never be reborn into this universe. It's like, oh, okay.
I mean, that's a good punishment for what he did.
It is. And then Carter basically says to the Watcher, well, how about this? How about you show me the multiverse? Which is why I believe, even though I'm disappointed they didn't bring him in, I believe that we get the start of Avengers of the Multiverse.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that that's for the third season they actually do something with it, because it's too cool of an idea to skip on.
So
the coolest part of the episode is the big fight, right?
Yes.
Because Carter gets the stones from Killmonger.
Yep.
And then she releases a bunch of the villains that Strange has been capturing, and you get the shot of them like. He activates the forge. They're falling down. Kahori reverses it. They float back up. Carter uses the time stone, and they're reverses the time a little bit. But as they're falling, because they do start getting destroyed, they throw all their weapons to her. So she winds up with Hela's helmet, Thor's hammer. She's got her shield. She's got all the Infinity Stones and the 10 rings.
Right,
she gets the 10 rings as well.
Right.
So they just do this huge amalgamation of all the powerful weapons. The Hela's helmet and I think the sword as well.
Yes.
But it's the original Hela. It's not the one that we get the episode from where she gets the cool silver armor and she's the good guy. This is villain Hela. Which is what I was like, well, what's... You know, why did you guys line up the episodes this way? Because it made no sense. They really should have had the Hela episode before anything with Kahori.
Yep.
Because then they could have done Kahori and Captain Carter and 1602 and, yep. You know. So the placement of episodes was weird. But that fight itself with having everything, like, here, just use all the toys.
Right.
Might as well.
Right.
That was just really well done. It was a lot of fun to watch.
It really was. I think that I really do believe that we're going to get the Avengers of the Multiverse. And the thing that is interesting is in the comics, they didn't really do the Watcher doing that whole thing. But there have been instances like... Exiles was a comic series that was X-Men focused, but it was X-Men from different multiverses being pulled together to right wrongs, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then there was also a period of time where Nick Fury was the Watcher.
Oh, I remember hearing about that. I never read that.
And he would send people out on missions. It was so I think that they're trying to combine all those things. There is a little piece of trivia in this whole thing. And that is the woman who voiced Kahori is the same woman that played Bonnie in Echo. Bonnie being Maya's childhood friend.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Her name is Devery Jacobs. Devery Jacobs. And basically she said it was a coincidence that she was part of the two Marvel Studios projects. They didn't do it on purpose.
They didn't do it on purpose.
And they said that the two characters are not related. Well, we know that. I mean, but I just found that interesting. I found that really interesting.
One is Mohawk. The other one is Choctaw. Choctaw.
Yeah, overall, did you like it better than season one?
No, I like season one more. But there was some really cool stuff in this one that I really enjoyed, and I'm really looking forward to season three.
I agree.
I think it was really well done. It was fun. But I did like season one better than this one.
Yeah, so did I. But I wonder how much of that was because of the fact that it was so new.
Maybe. I mean, there were some episodes that definitely felt like this is as good, if not better, than season one.
Oh, yeah.
I think overall, season-wise, the episodes and then everything being tied in together and getting the overall arc at the end versus season two, season one did it better.
Yeah, I would tend to agree.
I think the Christmas episode was probably better than most. As a standalone, was more fun than any of the season one episodes.
Right.
But yeah, season one was definitely higher up on this.
Right. All right. Well, cool. We have run very long on this because, well, there was a lot
to cover. Nine episodes.
Yeah. And actually, it was only like an hour 20 minutes when everything is said and done. But why don't we go ahead and stop it here. Sen, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every evening, well, most of the evenings on twitch.tv/SenRaven and Sunday mornings there as well. So come on by, say hello. Love to see people drop in. And we're back on tomorrow, right?
I believe so. We got to talk about timing a little bit on that.
Yeah.
Because I got a bit of an issue. But yeah, tomorrow or our next episode, let's just say our next episode, will be based on Echo.
Are we doing Echo or are we doing Marvels?
We were gonna wait on Marvels.
We're gonna wait on Marvels.
Because the home video release when
oh happened. Right.
Yeah. So we're gonna go right to Echo, and we're just gonna do a series wrap up of Echo, and then we'll be up. We'll be caught up until Marvels comes out. On Disney
Plus. Yes, folks. We're waiting for Disney Plus for Marvels. That way we can do a breakdown.
And then we can start talking about breakdowns for Loki and all the other things and more stuff.
Which means I get to do a rewatch.
Yes. Yes. But only one episode at a time.
Yes.
Which will be good. So, you can also find me everywhere at VO by Kurt, mostly on TikTok and Instagram at this point. I can be found on Twitter at Real VO by Kurt, not The Real, but just Real VO by Kurt. And until next time, we will see you for Echo. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.